vote, right? It is a joy again tonight to gather here at Fairview Memorial. I have to think when I say that. Sometimes I'm in a different church and my mind's not registering exactly where I am. I'll start to say I'm somewhere else, but I know where I am. And more importantly, I know where I'm going. I've enjoyed the singing again tonight. I could just sit and listen to the singing all night. Brother Wayne, beautiful voice. We too thank those that's supplied meals for us this week. And again tonight. As preachers, we struggle for God to show us what to say, what to bring for the hearing of those that's lost and without God. And my heart's heavy tonight for those that are lost, because I want them to have what I have. And what you have that have been saved. The great assurance. The hope that you have in your heart. Not something you got somewhere. It didn't come in a box and put on your front porch. But it came from a loving, gracious God. A Savior who loved you and gave Himself for you. There's many things that we preach. I was thinking today about the things that we do preach, that we believe, the truths. You know, we can talk about the atoning blood of Jesus, and it has to be there. Being justified in the sight of God. And we could go on and on, but an unsaved person probably can't really understand very much about that, because I couldn't. I want to talk to you tonight about something that I hope and I believe that you can understand. I want to read some scripture, and it's amazing what's already been said tonight. The song, the words of that, "Let the lower lights be burning." Some of the same words that you'll find in my scripture reading is contained in that verses of that song and in the words that's already been spoken. So you pray for us tonight. I want to read a more lengthy scripture reading than I like. I'd rather just read a verse or two. It puts people to sleep most of the time when you read a long scripture reading. I hope you'll stay awake and listen, because these are the words of God. They're found in the 107th Psalm. I want to read down about 20 verses. "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in a wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's reading down through the 20th verse of that 107th Psalm for scripture reading. And my lesson text would be found in the 9th verse that I read. It says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." The writer of this psalm, I believe, was telling some of the ways that God had dealt with Israel. Some of the wonderful things that he had done for them, among them. He did bring them through a wilderness. He fed them there in the wilderness. He led them forth by the right way, the writer says. And there is a right way. There's a way that we proclaim to this world that is the right way. It's the only way that one can know the Lord and be saved. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. The scripture speaks of all of this that he did. But last of all, the last verse that I read says that he sent his word and healed them. His word. You have heard the word of God every night this week. And God just didn't send his word then to the Israelites there in the wilderness, but he has still continued to send his word to this very day. Someone preached to every one of us that's been saved. Someone proclaimed a living Savior that is able to save and to deliver out of all distresses. The one thing I believe that every lost person, they might not ever be able to understand all those other things that after they're saved and grow in grace and knowledge, they can come to understand all of those other things. But I believe the one thing that every person that's lost without God can understand is the condemnation of sin. And it's a great distress. You know, people come past this world trying to find something that will satisfy them. People try all sorts of things, engage in all sorts of things that they believe, if I can just accomplish this, then I'll be satisfied. If I can acquire this, I'll be satisfied. But in essence, they never find satisfaction. In the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the scripture says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, the Lord said, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live." You see, the only thing that can satisfy a soul is the peace of God that a person so desperately needs. The longing soul, the scripture said. And he said that he would fill the hungry soul with goodness. And that's what that he does. In the 48th chapter of Isaiah, the scripture says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. There is no peace to those that are sinners in this world." As long as a person is lost and without God, they'll never find peace. You can get degrees from every university in the universe. You can increase all kinds of knowledge. You can become successful to the point that you're a billionaire. I assure you, it will never give you peace. Never. It will not satisfy the longing soul. There's only one thing that will do that, and that is Jesus Christ. And he can impart to you a peace, a satisfaction. You know, the word means to be filled is what it really means in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. To be satisfied meant to be filled. It means to meet the needs and desires of someone. In the book of Luke, the scripture speaks about a man. We don't know his name. It just says the ground of a certain rich man. In the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, it says, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth abundantly." Now, just from that one sentence, we can, I believe, conclude that the man had much of the goods of this world. You would think he should have been happy and content, but he wasn't. It says, the ground of this rich man brought forth plentifully. So he thought within himself and he said, what shall I do? I don't have anywhere to put all of the abundance of my fields. And he said, I will tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And I'll store up all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat and drink and be merry. You see, he had a plan. But it wasn't a good plan. He thought that he could provide for what he needed to give him satisfaction by the labors of his own hands. But then God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall these things be? Thou fool, tonight your life is going to be required of you. I pray if we live to come back tomorrow night that all of you will be able to come back tomorrow night, but I can tell you there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. No one can assure you that you'll be living 24 hours from now. Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he said, for what is a man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? If you own the whole world, it wouldn't benefit you. It wouldn't help you in the day of death. It would be of no benefit at all. And if you own the whole world, it still wouldn't satisfy you, because that's not what brings satisfaction. They want a satisfy a longing soul. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. When we hunger and thirst, then repenting of our sins, believing upon the Lord with all their heart, then that is when that we can find a satisfaction. That's when we can be satisfied. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I've had a good meal every night this week. A really, really big meal. And when I walk out of wherever we eat, I'm more than filled. But 24 hours later, I'm ready to do that again. It just satisfies for just a little while. And then that need arises again. What you need and what you are looking for will satisfy you for eternity. Yes, he satisfies the longing soul. In the book of John, in the 6th chapter, Jesus had just fed 5,000. Five little loaves of bread and two small fishes, the scripture said. He blessed it and then he broke that and multiplied it so that he was able to feed 5,000. And after he had done that, he departed from the place that he was and he went across the Sea of Galilee to another place. And the next day, some of them that he had fed the day before, they arrived where he was. They had followed him. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you eat of the loaves and were filled." He said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." Not the food or the meat that you take to feed the carnal flesh, but that spiritual meat that he gives and that he provides. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Now God, when they were in the wilderness, had sent the manna. And it came down every night. But just enough for that day. Just enough for one day. Except for Saturday and then they could, or Friday, our calendar, and then they could get enough for 2 days because the Sabbath day, they didn't get it. But they got enough the day before. That was the manna that came down from heaven. But he said, "But the Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world." And then he said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus, he's that spiritual bread that we must partake of, that we must eat of, that we might have eternal life. I got that in 1958. I've never had to go get a refill or no more. I got enough that will last me for all of eternity. The bread of life that came down from heaven, Jesus. He said that several times here in the 6th chapter of John. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life." Again, he said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead." He said, "This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." He wasn't speaking in a carnal way. He was speaking these words that apply spiritually. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. We don't understand that literally, but spiritually. By faith we partake of the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to save us from our sins. That may be a little hard. The Jews, when he said that, they refrained and rebelled about what he said. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the spirit that is quickened. It is your spirit that is dead in trespasses and sin that must be quickened and made alive. And that's what Jesus does when we put our faith in him. It's a mystery. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain how that he does it, but I can tell you that he does. And all of these people are witnesses. They are witnesses. If you're lost, they can tell you what he did. I believe they'll confirm what I'm saying. It is by faith, by trusting wholly in Jesus Christ. You know, I'll just say it's hard to do. I'll even say that you can't do it by yourself. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me. No, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he said, no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. It takes the drawing power of God. And that's what you feel when you're lost. That's what you feel. You can feel the drawing power of God. He is trying to draw you to the place that you can repent of your sins and you can trust in him sufficiently that he can say to you, peace, be still. And he can feel you. He can feel the longing soul. He can satisfy the longing soul. Satisfy. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words apply to the spiritual part of man. These words, God is a spirit. And these words, the words of the Lord, they're spirit. They can pierce right into the very heart of man. You know, when I think about this, I think about how God dealt with me, but I'll just say that this is the bread that satisfies a longing soul. This bread, Jesus. He came into this world, the scripture says, to save sinners. You know, people Seems like they try everything, and then when everything else maybe has failed, then maybe they try the Lord. It just seems to be how it is. I can save you a lot of trouble. I can save you a lot of time and a lot of trouble. Just go ahead and try the Lord now. Just go ahead and try. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from that burden of sin. Rest from that anguish and that distress that we feel inside in a soul that is in the depths of sin. In the 15th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to hurry through, the scripture speaks of a man that had two sons. The younger came to his father and he said, give me the portion of my goods that are mine. In other words, he didn't want to wait until his father had died and then he would get his portion of the inheritance. He wanted to go ahead and get it now. And it says that he divided unto him his living. He got his portion. And not many days after that, he took his journey into a far country. And there, as so often is, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Man wastes a lot of things. We waste a lot of things. There's been many that have sat under the gospel that's heard the words of life that he has sent forth and had opportunity to trust in the Lord, to seek him, to pray, and they wasted it. They wasted that effort, that time, that opportunity, wasted it. He wasted all of his living. And when he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He spent all of his money, he didn't have anything. And a famine came, and he began to be in want. He didn't even have food to eat. And he went and he joined himself to a man of that country, and he gave him a job feeding the swine, feeding the hogs in the field. And even then, he still didn't have food to eat sufficient, because the scripture says that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I can pretty well picture the shape that he was in. He became a beggar. But the scripture says that in this state that he was now in, feeding the swine, and they had more to eat than he did, it says that he came to himself. He came to himself. He began to really think about the condition that he was in. He came to himself. Lost sinner, you need to think about the condition that you're in. It's not good. I can assure you, it's not a good place to be. To be lost and without God. But he came to himself, the scripture said. And he began to think about his father's house. And he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough? and despair, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now you talk about humility. You talk about being broken down. This young man was, because of the condition that he was in. He just said, I'll go to the Father and I'll say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And he rose. He began to go toward the Father's house. But the scripture says that when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I believe this is a picture of lost people coming to Christ. I'll tell you that when a sinner begins to make their way to Jesus, that he will meet you more than halfway. He'll meet you. He'll come and he'll meet you. With compassion, he'll meet you. The Father ran and met him, and the Son said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. But you know what he heard? The Father said to one of his servants, he said, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He said, go and get the fatted calf and kill the calf and make a banquet, because we're going to rejoice because this my son was dead and now he's alive. The best robe. I can tell you the best robe is the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives. The robe of righteousness. He'll clothe you in his righteousness. You know, there was a lady stood right up here the other night. I don't know who she was. I guess a visitor maybe, but she said, I just feel like I belong. I feel like I can come around and handshake. I feel like I belong. He put that ring on his son's hand because that identified him as belonging in the family. God will give you the Spirit to dwell within you as a witness that you pass from death unto life. And when you have the Spirit of God within you, you'll belong. You'll know that you belong. Listen, when I was lost and without God, I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere, and I didn't. As long as I was a sinner, as soon as I got up off the altar, I headed to the back door, I went to the car. I didn't want to see anybody because I didn't belong anywhere. As a sinner, I didn't belong. I didn't feel that like I was belonging anywhere. But you know, the night that I told that the Lord had saved me, I felt like I just belonged among everybody. Because the Lord satisfied my longing soul. He filled every hunger and thirst that I ever had. That's what he does. He will feel that. Your feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel that's spoken of in the book of Ephesians. He'll put them shoes on you that'll help you to walk by faith. He feels and satisfies the longing soul. The writer of the 17th Psalm, he said this. He said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." Now, from the carnal standpoint, I'm not trying to tell you the world's going to be perfect after you get saved. No, no. As long as we're in this flesh, there will be things about our life that we're not satisfied about. But that just pertains to this carnal life. But when you get saved, God will fill every need that you have, and He will fill you with His goodness, and you'll be satisfied. Satisfied. Until your day that you go home to be with the Lord. Yes, I will behold the face of the Lord in righteousness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. One of these days we're going to shut our eyes down here. We're going to go to sleep here for the last time. And we'll awake in the presence of our Lord. And when we get in His presence, we're going to be satisfied. Content. If you're lost tonight without God, you have one opportunity. You have one opportunity. Would you come and would you pray? And would you ask God to fill your longing soul? Would you just ask Him? Would you just ask Him to satisfy that hunger and that thirst spiritually that's there? Brother Wayne sang that song the other night. Now go ahead, Brother Wayne. Brother Wayne sang a song the other night that said, "My sins are gone. My sins are gone." But when our sins are taken away and when they are gone, He fills that space. He fills it with His goodness, with His, He fills it with His Spirit. And then we're satisfied. Forever. Go ahead. While we sing, let us stand. If you're lost and without God tonight, I pray that you'll come and seek the Lord tonight. That you'll just take care of it and get it done.
190. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thy roam farther and farther away? Shall be blessed. He will not turn you away. is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh list to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Let's all bow and pray together. God do bless us. Brother Forshee, will you start the prayer? Brother Collins, will you?